O God of unchangeable power and eternal light, look favorably on your whole church, that wonderful and sacred mystery. By the effectual working of your providence, carry out in tranquility the plan of salvation. Let the whole world see and know the things which were cast down are being raised up, and things which had grown old are being made new, and that all things are being brought to their perfection by him through whom all things were made, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Father, send forth your word that it may rest upon our hearts and change us, making us more like Jesus every day. So fill our hearts and minds and mouths with your praises. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't know if you've seen it, but I'm carrying this around to say there is hope. There is a book that's coming, and I know it's back ordered for the many of the churches, but it's something that I have been very grateful for in these past months. Just holding a prayer book again for someone who's a child of common worship is a great joy. So for those of you who don't know me, my name is Keith Andrews. It's my joy and privilege to serve as the bishop in Western Anglicans, and it's my joy to be here among you today to celebrate and to preach and to encourage your heart, I pray, with God's word that you may in all things give him praise. This day, may the grace and the peace and the joy of the Lord Jesus Christ be yours. This is an exciting time for Christ Church. Deacon Austin and Rebecca are here this morning with their children, and I know you've probably done this. After having spent the weekend moving into their home, did you bring liniment? Anybody massage their tired backs or aching feet? On behalf of the Diocese of Western Anglicans, I welcome you. I welcome you, brother. Rebecca, wave your hand. Yes, I welcome you. Hallelujah. Not only me, but on behalf of the Diocese of Western Anglicans. And I give thanks for you that this is an amazing and glorious journey that the Lord has set us on. And it's fraught with challenge, but filled with great joy and adventure every step of the way. We are here today primarily, and I pray this is your desire, but to enter into God's holy presence and be changed by the Lord Jesus Christ. To hear his word and allow the ministry of the word to press in upon your own heart and mind, that you may be formed in Christ. That you would gather at the table with great thanksgiving to receive the body broken and blood shed of Jesus, knowing that it is for the whole world that he gave his life, including us. There are days when I imagine, Lord, how wonderful it is that you have shown your light on my life, that by your grace I've come to know you, recognizing that there's nothing in me that deserves his mercy. For those of you who are preparing this morning for the service of institution of a rector, my word to you is very simple. Be in prayer, be in preparation, and be patiently expectant of how God is working in your midst. We have asked our pastor here and his family to come away from family, loved ones in Denver, to enter into an Anglican way of life in fullness, and to assume the duties of a rector, all of which he will do and will do exceedingly well. I'm incredibly impressed with him and what God has done in his life already. In this season of transition, let us be quick to extend grace to everyone. Extend grace to me. Resist the temptation to say, oh yeah, that bishop. Oh yeah, that diocese. You know, look, I'm your brother in Christ. I have nothing in my heart or mind for you except what God has for you. And I love you and I bless you in Jesus' name, and I will be alongside you and helping in every way I know how. So give space for learning. There's lots to be learned, and there's a joyous journey as we do learn together. It's not always easy to learn. I found my own learning to be filled with lots of skinned knees and stubbed toes. But allow the Holy Spirit to be your counselor, to teach you, exhort you, and guide you every day, not only personally, but corporately. Invoke the Holy Spirit. Call upon the Lord Jesus. Lift up his name whenever you gather, for whatever reason, and let him have his way with you. I am here today as a sign that I will walk with you in these days of hopeful expectation and personal development, because he wants for us more than anything else to live out our calling as disciples of Jesus and to make it possible to advance others who will follow him in the same way that we do. So hear the word from the psalmist today. For the upright. Notice he didn't say, oh, y'all. He said, for the upright, there rises light in the darkness. We are light bearers, light bringers, because we are reflecting the glory of the Lord that shines not only on us, but is resident within us. For we live in him and he lives in us. He is merciful, loving, and righteous. That's what the upright is, merciful, loving, and righteousness. And again, the psalmist says, it is good for him to be generous in lending and to guide his words with discretion. For he shall never be moved, and the righteous shall be kept in everlasting remembrance. He will not be afraid of any evil tidings, for his heart is steadfast. His heart trusts in the Lord. That's Psalm 112, if you're taking notes. Go back, verses 5 through 7. So this morning's gospel is meant to pierce the heart. It's a kingdom of God narrative that has a prophetic impact. And when I talk about the heart, we're talking about the core of who we are, who I am, really. Take off the clothes, take off the roles and functions, take off any titles or anything. Who am I in Jesus? And Jesus' word today is to pierce to the heart, so that we may receive the fresh joy of repentance as Jesus grants us the fullness of his love. As a way of entering into this narrative today, though, I want to refresh you in this passage from Hebrews that we read. And here's the main question, I think. How does one live and follow Jesus in the midst of rampant and sometimes violent change? I don't have to read the newspaper to you. We don't have newspapers. I don't have to read the digital media to you. We live in challenging times. Change, change, change. Violence, often. So I want to give you a word of encouragement, because it's not new in the context of what it means to follow Christ in a changing and often violent world. From Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, and you may have read this previously, last week or the week before, depending on how you're dealing with your lectionary, but since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, we're surrounded by all these witnesses. Who are they? Well, I'll tell you in just a moment. But because we are surrounded, let us also lay aside every weight. Put it down. If you brought your bags, unpack them. Put them down. Let us lay aside every weight, every sin, which clings so closely. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. How do we do that? Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. The only meaningful life in Christ is the one where Jesus is the focus. I was a cross-country athlete once, believe it or not. It's much younger and thinner, carried less around on my body frame. And I always found myself in the middle of a race asking myself the question, and the question was this: I don't think I can do this. I don't know if I can make it. It looks like a long way away to the finish line. How am I going to keep going? And the answer was always, I can't, not by myself. I don't have the strength in me on my own. So if I was going to keep going, I had to join a group of others who were also running the race. And somehow when I connected with other runners in a small group or pack or huddle or whatever you might call it, I got to the finish line every time. Now, this cloud of witnesses about which this letter is written is the roll call of the faithful in Hebrews 11. That's a chapter of a book that's worthy of reading at least once a month, that one chapter. But these were the ones that I want to say, the ones you'll never know the names of. This is Saint Anonymous, or who knows that person, that young person, child, woman, or old man. Others suffered mocking. I hate being mocked. They suffered mocking and flogging. Never been flogged. I can't imagine the excruciating pain. Even chains and imprisonment. We're surrounded by those who are rejoicing in the heavens, having engaged because of their faith, and suffered greatly. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were killed with the sword. Again, I reference Hebrews 11, 36, 37. Okay. It's not about me. It's not about you. But your life, given in the way that the cloud of witnesses has given theirs, when you run the race with them, is such a fragrant and pure offering to the Lord that there is joy in the heavens and abounding joy and strength in the company of those who still run alongside you in human form. See, whatever is before me, I am joined in my life by those who gave so much more. And I can give my little so that Jesus is glorified all the same. I hope that encourages you. I hope there's good news for you in this. That there is joy in the Lord, and it is worth the trial, the difficulty, the challenge of your life, whatever it may be. And I know you have your own story. You have your own experience of this. Moreover, the one that shakes the heavens, the one that shakes the earth, has given those who have received him to come to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant. See that you do not refuse him who is speaking. Hebrews 12, 22 through 25. I just compress that part of the teaching. The shaking of the earth, the shaking of the heavens, is to sort out the real from the false, the pure from the impure, the faithful from those whose inner life is not yet set on Christ. So, beloved, here's the hopeful word. Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. In Jesus, remaining in Jesus, you cannot be shaken. His kingdom is secure. Let us then offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. Again, much good news. Remain in him, he will remain in you. You can handle it. It will not overwhelm you. It will not overcome you, no matter what you're facing circumstantially. This kingdom cannot be shaken. It's a kingdom of love and hospitality. It's a kingdom of visiting among those in prison and who have become outcast. It is a kingdom of marital fidelity between a man and a woman. That's a sign of God's kingdom. And also generosity toward others, sharing money and other resources easily. Honor is visited on those who nurture your faith, that they may be imitated in their faith in following Jesus, because he is the same, say with me, today, yesterday, and forever. So I'm going to say it again. Jesus is the same, I'll do it in the order of scriptures, yesterday, today, and let that rest for a moment. Unshakable. You can bet your life on it. Jesus and his kingdom, unchanging, unshakable, embodied in his people, the church. This is how one lives and follows Jesus in a time of rampant and sometimes violent change. This is how it's done. Because we're citizens of a new kingdom. So, in turning to Jesus and his example from Luke 14, the gospel for today, he healed a man on the Sabbath, and he was risking in doing so his reputation among those who observed him doing it. But he was concerning himself with the need of the other above himself. He was willing to risk it. So then he notices that people are looking for the best seat at the wedding feast. And there's a disconnect. So, for those among us who would seek the best seat at the wedding feast, whose needs are we meeting? In the kingdom of God, Jesus shared, but when you are invited, go and sit in the lowest place. When you give a party of your own, invite those who have nothing to give you in return. Stop expecting repayment. When you give something, relinquish it. It's not yours anymore. And the more you give what is not yours, the more you can of your heart, of your life, of your time, of your energy, of your money, of your friends, of your family. But doing so does not produce righteousness. When we do this, we only demonstrate that Jesus, the righteous one, is enthroned upon our lives in such a way that he lives in us as Savior, Redeemer, and Lord. And through us, then, he makes his personal appeal to others. That's what he sees for all of you. That's what this season is. That's what this church is about in his mind. So, my brothers and sisters, you have a rare and wonderful opportunity to demonstrate with your body and your soul and your spirit the very kingdom of God. You are a citizen born of water and the Spirit and to the family of Abba. And Jesus reigns in you and among you as you trust him and him alone. So when you forget every kingdom privilege and honor that he has given you, go find a lower place and sit there. Go invite someone who cannot repay you to your table. And by doing so, you will lavish the love of God on another. And you will be reminded, beloved, for the upright, there rises light in the darkness. He is merciful, loving, and righteous. Let me pray for you now. Father, I thank you for the men and the women and the boys and the girls and the young men and the young women, all of us in our own way, gathering ourselves to offer ourselves as a fragrant offering of sacrifice in praise. Fill us now by your grace and power, and make us like you, and train us day by day that we would be loving and merciful and rightly related to you and to those around us. We bless you because it is to your glory that this comes about. And we submit and surrender ourselves to you now that you may make it so. We give you ourselves. We give you our families. We give you our jobs. We give you our neighborhoods. We give you our places of business. We give you our church family. We give you our small groups and prayer meetings and vestries and all the things. We give them to you now. Lord Jesus, use all we give to make us like you. In your holy name, we pray. Amen.